Hey, Spirit Stories listeners, we've got a new spirit story for you, though not one you're probably expecting.
This is May.
And Eric.
From Too Long Didn't Read, and we have a slam dunk podcast for you to listen to. If you liked spirit stories, all those crazy things that God has done and ways that he showed up, then The Story of Christmas is jam-packed with all that stuff, and you're going to want to listen to episodes of Too Long Didn't Read on Tuesdays and Thursdays in December.
And actually, you don't even have to go anywhere. We've got the first episode coming at you right now, so sit back and enjoy. Once you're done, hit subscribe, share it with a friend, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
From us to you.
We can't talk about the Christmas story without talking about a virgin birth. We'll try to do it cleanly, but be warned, if you have young children, they may have a lot of questions for you when this is over. So be prepared. Today's story is from Luke chapter 1. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Has this ever happened to you? I mean, if I had a dime.
Not today,
every
actually.
Time an angel came and told me that...
You were going to give birth?
I'd have zero dimes.
My name's Eric, and I read a lot of books.
My name's May. I also read a lot of books, but with smaller words and fewer pages.
This is Too Long Didn't Read.
Too Long Didn't Read is an irreverent look at a reverent book. It's a podcast about the Bible. This season, we're diving deep into the Christmas story to find out what the Bible says, or doesn't say, about that silent night in the little town of Bethlehem. Your grandma's porcelain nativity set? It's way off. The actual story of Christmas is violent, scandalous, and downright weird. But it's part of the Bible for a reason. Wonder why? So do we.
So throw another log on the fire, grab a cup of warm cocoa, and wait for otherworldly messengers to come talk about your womb. It's Christmas time again. Today on Too Long Didn't Read, angels, virgins, and babies. Oh my.
Did you like those jingle bells?
I loved those jingle bells.
Those weren't edited in. Those are real. Okay, Eric. Christmas story. A lot of people know it.
Yep.
Maybe some people don't. My challenge to you is, tell us what we need to know in 60 seconds or less about the Christmas story. Ready? Go.
Okay.
You've used 3 seconds already. Just...
dang it. Now I'm up to like 8. Crap! So much pressure.
Talk.
So, angel comes to Mary, says you're going to have a baby. She says, I'm not married yet. That could be a problem. Angel says, not from your husband, from God.
What?
He's going to be the Messiah. That's important. Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem for political reasons, have the baby. Lots of people come and visit. I mean, the original Christmas was pretty chaotic and nondescript and not nearly as Hallmarky as we tend to think of it nowadays.
Jesus's birthday.
More barnyard animals, less birthday cake.
Let's unpack this now.
Sure.
Okay, so first, what the heck does an angel look like? Have you ever seen an angel?
I have not seen an angel.
I haven't either. But do I want to? Because apparently they're very scary.
Well, I don't know what they look like. The Bible doesn't go into a ton of description about what they look like, but it is pretty consistent that when angels show up in the Bible, most of the time the thing they have to say first is don't be afraid.
Right.
Which if you have to constantly tell somebody not to be afraid, there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the same here for both Mary and then later Joseph. It's like, oh, hold on, don't freak out. You know, that's kind of the first thing.
Although, isn't it also true, sometimes just the unexpected is scary?
True.
Like, I see a small spider. I mean, some people would be afraid of that. Not me.
Hypothetically,
one could be afraid of a small spider. So, and that would certainly not be expected. It wasn't,
sure.
Culturally, we're not talking about a situation where angels were showing up all the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really rare. there's kind of two categories of scenarios where angels show up in the Old Testament. So you have one category where they show up to declare God's judgment on a scenario. So like, you've done all these bad things and you're going to have XYZ consequence as a result of it. And then you have other scenarios where, and there's actually fewer of these, where the angel shows up to be a messenger, basically. You know, it's significant that this angel appears to Mary, and one of the first way it describes her reaction is like she was greatly troubled, which to me feels like a bit of an understatement. This angel just suddenly shows up. Like, she was greatly troubled. No, she was freaking the heck out. Yeah. that's what that is, because, you know, she knows the history, and like, angels don't show up unless something super significant is happening. So at this point, like, she's going to know, okay, either this angel is showing up to give a message or this angel is showing up to pronounce judgment. I really hope it's not judgment, but it's, you know, it's something super significant either way. And so the angel says, you know, you've found favor with God. So it's like, whew, okay, so I'm not getting judgment. That's great. Also, the fact that he's coming to me to announce something means my quiet, simple life isn't quiet and simple anymore. Like, there's something super significant, because otherwise, who am I? Why would he show up here? And that's kind of her reaction, is like, who am I? Why me? And it's interesting that at this point in history, to kind of give it a little bit of context, you have the nation of Israel. They're under the boot of Rome, so they're oppressed. And you also have this scenario where they've not had a word from God, a prophet, anything like that, like they had for the bulk of their history. They haven't had one for 400 years. So God, to them, has effectively been silent for 400 years. So not only is it weird that this angel suddenly appears, it's that this angel suddenly appears out of nowhere, you know, proclaiming this message from God that is completely unexpected, both culturally and time-wise. And imagine being in Mary's shoes. An angel has come to you.
Oh my gosh.
Says, you're going to give birth to the child that your people have been waiting for their entire history.
Do you think she was excited? I mean, obviously she was overwhelmed and probably freaked out. But do you think that she was excited? Would she have seen that as an honor? Or would it have meant judgment? What did that hold for her?
I'd actually ask you that question. I mean, we were talking before we started recording this about an encounter you had with your parents when you were about 12 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, 12 to 14 is probably the age she was. So imagine when you were 12 years old, instead of having an argument with your parents, you have an angel show up and say, hey, you're going to have a baby, A. B, it's not you're going to be your husband, so the guy that you're engaged to.
Who's, what, 20 years older?
10 to 20 years older, probably.
That's scary.
That's scary. Probably nobody, most people aren't going to believe you.
I have thought about that so often. I know this isn't going to happen, but I have put myself in that situation where I think about an angel coming saying, you're going to have God's baby, whatever. Even if I'm cool with it, if I come to you and I say, Eric, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but hear me out. An angel just told me I'm going to have God's child and I'm pregnant, but I've never been with anyone. It's God's baby, I swear. I mean, the implications of that.
I'm sure it is, May.
Oh my gosh. No one would believe that.
No. Yeah, so put all that on a 12-year-old.
A 12-year-old,
on a 12-year-old.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would guess that an unmarried, pregnant girl in that time is not just going to be sheltered and cared for.
No.
My guess is that this is a capital offense.
Yeah, so engagements in the ancient world, not just in Israelite culture, but was seen as you're effectively married. From a legal standpoint, not like you're going to start living together and sleeping together, any of those things. But like, if somebody was found to be cheating while they were engaged, it was as if you were cheating while you were married. It was seen the same in the eyes of the law. And so in Jewish society, anybody who committed adultery, the punishment for that was death. You take them outside the city or outside the camp and you throw rocks at them until they're dead. Like big, huge ones.
Yeah.
You know, so again, pile that on top of the mind of a 12 to 14-year-old girl. You have this amazing news that God is going to use you to not just fulfill the hopes of your people, this thing that they've been waiting for, but also, like, she knows the stories. She knows Genesis. She's going to be like, this is the rescuer that's going to put everything right from the very beginning. You get to be the mom of that baby. Yay, that's awesome. Also, you now have to tell people, I'm pregnant. Joseph didn't do it. I didn't sleep with anybody. Oh, by the way, it's God's baby. Please don't hit me with rocks.
So what makes her so special? Why is this 12-year-old so capable of understanding that this is real and good? And
I don't know. She asks that question. She asks, why me? And Gabriel says, you've found favor with God. It doesn't really give a ton of reasons why God chose her. If you step back and look at the whole of the biblical story, it feels like a God sort of move. You know, he doesn't typically go, oh, I'm going to pick the elite of society. I'm going to pick this super capable person. I'm going to pick this person who's in a position of power or has a ton of resources. It's right on par with God's typical MO to say, I'm going to take this poor, simple peasant girl and she's going to be the mom of my son.
It is on brand.
Right. It's very much on brand.
Also, can we just for a second think about how does this occur? Like, did she know something strange was happening, or was it just like bloop? Or, I mean, what's the deal with being with impregnated by
No, you have to get that whole thing out. I'm not going to say it for you. You have to say it.
Well, I'll just use scripture. What's the deal with being overshadowed by the Most High?
So good. So it's interesting. The words that get used there are not the sort of words that you would use to talk about sex or about anything that would happen between a man and a woman. And honestly, it's not what would get used to talk about human-to-human interaction at all. It's more akin to the kinds of language that gets used in Genesis around creation. You know, it's not the same phrasing, but it evokes that same sort of picture. The implication with the word that's being used there is not typical procreation, but God doing a unique act of creation. The words evoke protection and covering and security. It evokes this idea of God is going to come to you, protect you, and do something unique, some unique act of creation.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Do you think that as a child he did any stuff that made Mary be like, oh, that's your father in you? You know what I mean? Like, do you suppose there were any little moments where he just, you know, turned milk into wine or I don't know.
In his public ministry, he does lots of things that are supernatural, but he never does them frivolously. Mm-hmm. He never does it just to get a reaction or just for fun or just, you know, just for kicks. Yeah. So, like, it doesn't seem far-fetched to me that Jesus would do something like that that's not recorded. I would find it hard to believe that he would do it just for fun.
Yeah.
You know, he would have a purpose behind it.
Do you think he knew as a child that he was the Son of God?
Man, we're getting way far afield. It's all good. No, it's a good question. I mean, the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature. So I don't think as a 2-year-old, I don't think Jesus has any idea. You know, he probably has, you know, the average self-awareness of a 2-year-old. You know, when he's 10, when he's 12, when he's 18, he's growing into this awareness of like, I'm different and I God has sent me here to do something. Like, I think he grows into that awareness. And that's
Mary doesn't just tell him.
I can't imagine being Mary and Joseph and trying to help him walk through that and unpack it and understand it. Like, that's, it's one thing to sit with my own kids and help them understand their identity and who they are and what God has made them to do. I can't imagine trying to do that for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So the story of an angel visiting a virgin, telling her that she is going to give birth to God's son, it's in the Bible because that's a big part of the story, but is there more, is there a deeper reason that maybe we haven't thought of or we haven't talked about?
It's important that this is in the Bible and that Jesus doesn't just appear on the scene or we get this like, and Jesus was born in Nazareth, moving on, you know, that we have this story. For several reasons. One, you see God doing the thing that he typically does, which is taking the outcast, ignored, downtrodden, nobody thinks anything good about them person and saying, you're the one I'm going to use to do my most special thing. So it's important that we see, especially in this kind of central story to the whole arc of the Bible, God saying, I'm stepping in. You broke this thing that I made. You caused all of this downline of destruction and problem, and yet I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere. You know, even though I've been silent for all these years, I haven't left. I'm going to fulfill the promises that I've made. I'm going to rescue. That's important. I think it's important that we see, you know, as complicated as the virgin aspect of the story is, it's important that we see God stepping in here and doing something unique. You know, part of what the church has wrestled with is this idea that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. Having his origin and his birth be the way that it is both God and humanity, you know, that he's saying like, I am not just going to come in and as a divine creature live on this planet. And you as just a human are not capable of doing what needs done. I will do some unique act of creation and I will bridge that gap. So we see him doing something new, to rectify this problem and, again, doing it in a way that only he can.
The word rectify is funny.
It is a funny word.
Can I do a twist on mansplaining?
Sure.
I'd like to mansplain something different. It relates. You have never been a 12-year-old girl. I know that for a fact.
I have never been a 12-year-old girl. That is absolutely true.
I have been a 12-year-old girl for a whole year of my life. So I remember it pretty well. And I can't think of a time in life that was less tenuous and confusing, and I didn't have a lot of confidence. I mean, you're on the brink of a lot of big stuff as a 12-year-old girl. There's a lot coming at you. You were sort of saying it framed everything up that God has a plan, that he knows what he's doing. And the fact that he did all of that through 12-year-old Mary, I'm sure she was wondering about her future and unsure of herself. It's the equivalent of he didn't send his son as a warrior or, like you said, some kind of otherworldly creature. And also the vessel was not someone who was brimming with confidence probably and overwhelmingly exuding power or prestige or any of that. Jesus was not what anyone expected and did not come from a place of power and might.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And there's an aspect to Mary, kind of as the story unfolds, that you get the sense that God could see things about her that I'm sure those around her couldn't see. Like, there was more than meets the eye to Mary. Towards the end of the first chapter of Luke, there's this whole song that she sings. And a couple of the verses are, he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And so, like, she goes on to just have this song of praise towards God. But there's something of substance to a 12-year-old girl that can, in the midst of all of this chaos, go, God is to be praised. God is powerful. He has done this amazing thing. And everybody that comes after is going to see how blessed I am. There's nobody in that time that would go, man, God has really just blessed you. Like, you are pregnant, you are confused, you are 12, you are like, the whole mass of all of this chaos is coming at you. And to be able to have the perspective to go, everybody after me is gonna look at me and go, look how blessed she was. There's something of substance there that God could see, that I'm sure everybody around her, and I doubt even her in that initial moment, thought she had in her. Mm-hmm. But God sees, like, no, this is the one. Mm-hmm. This is who I want.
So it turns out there's another woman in Luke chapter 1 who also has a miracle baby in the same family. Her name's Elizabeth. You can check that story out. And there's a lot more we didn't even have time to cover. So we'd love to know your thoughts, hear your questions. You can interact with us over email, podcasts@crossroads.net. Podcast is plural there. And if you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Say Merry Christmas to him. Special thanks for our music to Jacob Durbin. Too Long Didn't Read is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.
How long can we sustain that?
Dun 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 dun